I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about God's process. In the Old Testament, we see God had a process. When he brought the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and takes them to the promised land, he had some steps. He had a process that they had to go through before they could step into the promised land. And why did he have this process for them? I believe it's because he was taking them into a land of giants, a land that he could not take them to, that they could not take in their own strength. So they had to learn a different way of living, to learn to trust and to rely on God. And he had to get them to this place where he knew they could trust in him, they would rely on him, because they could not take the land without him. And so I believe what God has shown me in my own life, God takes us through this very same process to take us into what he has for us. To see his promises showing up and see the fruit of his promises in our life. He takes us through a similar process as well. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Asking God to give us understanding and wisdom and insight into this process. How it applies into our own lives. And to walk out this process the right way. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. Was just doing life on my own without God, doing things my own way. But life really wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. Was stressed out all the time. Was just feeling all the weight and heaviness of pressure of life just sitting on me. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business, and my business was very up and down. I was dealing with staff turnover issues, and got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars every month. But I was seeking after truth. I was traveling all over the country, studying with some of the best health and fitness experts in the world, trying to learn how our bodies work, trying to find ways to improve my business. I was seeking, I was reading books and taking courses and doing all these things, but I wasn't finding what I was looking for. Then one evening, I remember going for a walk around the neighborhood with my wife and just telling her over and over, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be a better way to live. Shortly after that, thankfully, God began to answer that prayer. Came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It says, if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it'll change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you start with Proverbs chapter one. Day two, you read Proverbs chapter two, and then you continue like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over again. So I got started with this. And right away, I began to see that God's way of doing things and my way of doing things were definitely not in alignment with each other. God began to renew my mind about some things. And then after several months, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page of me one morning. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training. For how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals and lessons, systems, teaching, training, whatever you want to call it, for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family and finances and all the areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. I just began to seek God, began to press into him. And from that point on, my relationship with him began to grow exponentially. And I believe he began to take me through the process that we're going to talk about today. It wasn't always easy. I had to unlearn a lot of my old ways, had to let go of some old patterns to break free of some things. And God put me in some impossible looking situations. But he just began to show up and just began to show up and to break me free of those over and over again. Taught me this new way of living, this different way to approach life, connected back to him. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And really, if you look at the Abundant Life Blueprint, the series of books, we talk about this process, the steps and the ordering of how God took me through the process. It's all documented along the way. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing I believe is daily communion. Daily communion is the number one, what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to turn the tables, to turn the direction of our lives and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, make it active and relevant and alive today in this present moment. Over and over, we see in the Old Testament, God tells the people, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. Don't forget me. And I believe just taking it daily is this opportunity to remember him. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally, I found it's this opportunity. We can take promises that God has made and we can activate them in our lives. It can serve as a marker in time to say, you know what, that day when I took communion over that scripture or that promise or whatever it may be, that I believed, I received, that was the day. And from that moment on, it changes the trajectory of our lives going forward. And communion is this very powerful thing, I believe, because it combines the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our mind and remembrance in our soul. And then we combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice to unite our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. And physical things can help us to remember. You've probably got things around your house, pictures or different things around your house to help you to remember certain things in your life. Sometimes we call them triggers, triggers that help you to remember certain things. Communion is a trigger that helps us to remember all that Jesus did for us. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember we were separated from God. No hope in this world. Walking in darkness. But he sent his one and only son. He loved us so much, he sent his one and only son. Jesus is willing to humble himself unto death on a cross for us. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciple, spit on and whipped and hit. Nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. His body is destroyed. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same spirit and power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He connects us back to God. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Now today we're going to do it a little differently because I want to dig into this process a little bit. So we're going to jump right into the process today after our daily prayer. And then after our time of communion, we're going to be looking at some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is a physical expression of exercising our faith. Teaches us the principles, how to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If I'll ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's look at this process today. This is what God has shown me the process is. This is the pattern that you see in Scripture of the Israelites leaving Egypt to go into the Promised Land. It starts in Egypt. They're in slavery. They're in bondage. They're in darkness in Egypt. The Passover, which is also symbolic of communion, sets them free. God supernaturally sets them free. They get released from darkness, transferred into the light. It happens fast. Then they cross over the Red Sea, which the New Testament tells us was like their baptism. But then they go into the wilderness for 40 years. And while they're in the wilderness, immediately God gives them a glimpse of where he's taken them, into the Promised Land. But unfortunately, most of the people reject it, because there's giants in the land. They say they look like grasshoppers. It looks impossible for them to take. And why is that? Because they're going to have to put off their old ways and learn this new way of living. So really all it took for them to come out of the wilderness, the two guys that came out of the wilderness, everybody else dies off. The two guys that came out, Joshua and Caleb, what did they do differently? They just simply believed that God was with them. They had something greater for them in their lives. He had something better for them in their lives. And it wasn't about what they could do. It was about what God could do. And so it simply took them believing to come out of the wilderness. Now, the wilderness, why does God take us into the wilderness? You see, Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. The Israelites there for 40 years. Moses there for 40 years. In my own life, I had a time where God showed me I was in the wilderness for 40 months. Not always the greatest place to be, but it's actually a gift. The wilderness is the safest place for us to be. Why? Because it tells us we're being born again. We're being born from above. And when a seed is planted in a woman, she's typically pregnant for 40 weeks. So the wilderness is like this time when we're in the womb. We're growing and developing in the womb. But the safest place for a baby is actually in the womb. It's not good for them to be coming out and be born too early just yet. It's not good for them. So the safest place while we're growing and developing, where we're learning to develop this trust in God, this belief for what God has for us in our lives. But then they got to cross over the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was different. When God tells them it's time, they have to step into the water first. The priests step into the water first, and then the waters part. The waters didn't part until they took the first step. And it says the river was at flood state. The river was raging. They had to step into the water first, the priests did. And then the waters began to part. So symbolic, we got to take that first step. We got to take that first step of faith. But then when they cross over, the next step that has to happen is God has them all the males become circumcised. Well, when they cross over, they have to get circumcised. But then God tells them, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Well, the New Testament tells us, we took communion over this not too long ago. We've been circumcised in Christ. We have a circumcision of the heart. This cutting away of our old way of doing things. When we cross over into this new phase on the other side of the Jordan River, we're stepping into the Promised Land. And we got to learn to put off our old ways. And God has given us this new heart. He's rolled away the stone of our old hearts. Rocky ground. He's made our hearts good soil. He's planted his seed in our hearts. We got this new culture, this new way of doing things that we have to learn on the other side. But then God tells them, it's going to take you more than a year to possess the land. Because if I gave it to you too quickly, it would be too much for you to manage. It would be too much. It would be overwhelming for you. The beasts would become too many, it says. And so it's during this one-year transition, I've learned, that God's taken us through a beautification process. When Queen Esther in the Old Testament becomes queen, before she could become queen, she had to go through 1 year of beauty treatments. When Noah was on the ark, he was on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. We know he reigned for 40 days and 40 nights, but he was on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. There's a beautification process that has to happen before we can step into what God truly has for us. So first, we got to be released from darkness. We got to be transferred into the light. Then we have to have that simple belief. God's got something more for us. He's got something that's better than we've ever imagined, but we can't take it on our own. We have to learn to trust and rely on him. We got to be willing to take that first step to part the waters and just get started by faith. And then we got to trust the process. We got to trust for him to bring these beautiful solutions into our life, not beautifying ourselves, but God providing the beauty. He's the source of beauty in our lives. Because we inherit the promises through faith and patience. There's a little bit of a waiting period oftentimes. It's learning to rest and trust and not try to force it to happen, not try to make it happen on our own. To trust in him, to stay connected to him. And that's how we begin to inherit these promises that he has for us in our life, I believe. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful to have you in our lives, that we can be connected back to you. And today we're asking for wisdom and insight and understanding into this process that you have that teaches us how to do things your way. Help us to understand why you have this process in place. And teach us to understand it and how to apply this to make the most of it, to make it practical and apply it into our lives so that we walk in your way of doing things. And we inherit these promises that you have for us. Teach us how to do it the right way. And I believe something you're showing me, this teaching of this process is supposed to be something we begin to implement into our daily communions. As part of just our daily flow, I'm asking for your help to show us how that fits in, where it goes into the sequence, how you want it taught each day as a reminder for us of this process. So Father, we just thank you for this bread. And then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God sent his one and only son because he loved us. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross for us. He's whipped and hit and spit on and mocked and ridiculed, worst of all, separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. His body is destroyed. He became a curse for us. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. And I believe this process that God has given us is actually a gift. Everything God does is good. It's a gift. And we're going to start to walk in understanding of just this valuable gift of God's process. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. And I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness. It transfers us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God. Now, I believe as we experience God taking us through this process and we begin to understand it, I believe it just helps us to know his heart and his love and his goodness for us that much more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. I think one of the ways we can practice this process, health and fitness stuff, be thinking about trusting the process. I think this process applies into our health and fitness as well. Be thinking about how does this process apply into our health and fitness. Once you understand how to do it there, it's going to teach you how to do it in other areas of life as well. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.